Summit County 911, what is the address of the emergency?
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
True stories on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome to another edition. It's your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93 here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And we are here in the Summit County Justice Center, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Indeed we are. And before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, my favorite line, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty.
In a court of law. Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. Let's get into it.
Which is usually you and me.
The sheriff's looking at me. He's like, okay, who's going to do the first bad joke?
Yeah, there'll be a few of those through this podcast for sure.
Let's start out with a dispute. A woman living in employee housing reported giving another employee in the building $300 to buy her a flight out of Denver. She said that he never gave her any flight information and that it was supposed to depart that evening.
Yeah, I think that this woman was flying high when this whole transaction, you know, when you always wonder, like, okay, so what are we missing here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if we had the audio clip on this, I'm sure we might have found out what's missing, because not only did it turn out when the deputy met with her and then went and talked to this alleged suspect who took the money, he said, yeah, she gave me the money, and I told her I couldn't book the flight, and I gave her back the money in front of Tom here. Go talk to Tom. And Tom confirmed, like, yeah, I was standing there when he gave it back to her saying, I can't book that flight for you. So it just seems like there's a little bit more shenanigans. Like, why would you give – I mean, you could think of many reasons why
sure.
you would give someone money to, you know, use your credit card to put their flight on. But, yeah, it didn't pan out. The deputy could not substantiate a crime. And he had a witness that said, yeah, I was standing right here when he gave the money back.
And she just spaced out the $300.
You wonder what happened. I think she, yeah, the $300, but maybe she was flying before her flight. I don't
right.
know.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know.
Don't know. But everything ended up okay.
Yeah, I mean. Right. I guess she got out.
Out of Denver.
Or out of her mind.
One or the other, or both. Let's talk about this Uber Eats customer. He was communicating with their support team over the app and started making concerning statements and asking odd questions that made the support agent concerned for the customer's well-being. They were unsure of the customer's whereabouts.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about this is this sort of behavior. It's like trending. Like, people start saying crazy crap to, you know, these type of vendors, Ubers and Uber Eats and DoorDash, and when they're not happy with the service. It's like the modern Yelp, I guess. And you literally Yelp, like, you say some crazy shit and they think, like, that these people aren't going to report it to law enforcement. Like, you have to. And of course we find the guy, we end up locating the person, and he goes, oh, I just wasn't happy with the delivery service, so I said those things. I didn't mean any of them. I just wasn't, that was my review of the service.
Instead of going to Yelp and giving him a one-star review.
It's crazy.
Let's yell at them in person.
I you know, we come across these a couple times a week. It's just bizarre.
Wow.
And people always deny, like, oh yeah, I was just pissed off. I didn't like the service. So I said, you know, that someone should get a gun and kill them or kill myself, or the food is so bad I'm going to kill myself. And all I meant was is that it was horrible service. It's like, okay, well, don't talk about self-harm or harming others
right.
when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Anyone listening out there, don't talk about self-harm and harming others if you don't intend to do that, because we're going to send help.
and maybe consider actually going out to eat.
What?
I know.
Do what?
Sorry, yeah.
Wait, is that like going out to the movies or going out and doing anything else other than sitting on your...
You want me to go somewhere?
The theater?
Oh, my God.
You want me to go to a restaurant and, like, and talk to people?
No.
Oh, my God. I might have... What happens when the person at the front asks me if I like to sit inside or outside? I don't know. I'll
have sensory overload. Yeah. Interesting times in which we live. There was a deputy who initiated a traffic stop with a vehicle after noticing its license plates were expired. The driver told the deputy that she may have a warrant out for her arrest due to not appearing at a scheduled court date for a drug offense. Deputies noticed drug paraphernalia in plain sight inside the vehicle. And the driver allowed them to search her vehicle. What did they find?
You know, I just, you can't make this stuff up. You know what I mean? Like, if you're wanted by the law, And you are a drug user, don't drive around with expired tags. Don't speed. Don't do things that cops are going to pay attention to and pull you over and ask you about it. So they pull this woman over, and her tags were expired. She had drug paraphernalia, like, out in the open.
Wow.
She did let them search her car. They didn't find any more drugs in the paraphernalia. She did have a felony warrant out for arrest, and they took her into custody, and she went to jail. But I it's just crazy what people, like, of course you ended up in jail. You're driving on expired tags, and you have drugs in your car, and...
It's not going to be a good outcome.
It's not going to be a good outcome.
Not at all.
Oh my God.
So she's in the Iron Bar Hotel.
She is.
Let's talk about this illegal camping on Highway 6 headed to Arapahoe Basin Ski Area. Campers in several vehicles decided to pull over and set up a camp in a pull-off for the new year. And they lit a large bonfire that reached over 5 feet high that passersby reported to deputies.
Yeah, and you know where this is, Tom. The big pullouts.
Oh, yeah.
On
the way to A Basin.
On the way to A Basin.
What a great place to have a party. And we have audio.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Hi, it's on an address. It's between mile marker 218 and 217 and 218 on US 6.
Eastbound or westbound?
Eastbound.
Into Keystone, is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
What's going on there?
I don't know if it's really an emergency, I guess, but people are having, like, a huge bonfire on the side of the road, and, I mean, I don't think it's legal. I just wanted to report it rather than not do something.
When you say huge bonfire, do you know about how big the flames were?
I mean, probably taller than my car.
Was it occupied? Empire State Building.
Yeah.
How many people were around, did you see?
Probably about 6 or 7.
Okay, and was it right off the edge of the highway, or was it further back?
It was right off the edge of the highway.
Okay.
He was actually in the pull-off.
Check it out and see if we can't get it to get extinguished, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yep, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Evening.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm Sean. I'm with the Sheriff's Office. This is a big no-no.
So this is the body cam audio now. Deputy.
Yeah, so we got fire en route. No fire ring. I mean, this is way too big of a fire, too.
This is a no.
You can be having this. So we're just going to have to figure this out one at a time.
Oh, I wish we had the video.
Who's kind of like in charge here of this? Anybody? Sorry?
It's my fire.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, you want to just come talk to me for a second? I can get some information from you. You all aren't planning on camping up here, are you?
Who, us? Okay,
so this is also, you can't camp here.
Okay.
So we got to come up with a game plan. How long you been here?
Tonight?
Yeah. Just tonight? Is tonight your first night?
No, just tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been a good fire.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just illegal.
It's great you can buy your own fire.
It is a nice one, though. Awesome. You were just saying tight at the front of my bumper. Yeah. Like I said, we got fire en route, so they're going to be putting it out, and then we're just going to be taking this one step at a time.
No worries.
I'll take my flashes off so we're not hurting you guys' eyes.
I wish I had a drink that I just
Me? Yeah. Absolutely nothing. The alcohol and the marijuana, no nothing.
That's perfect.
been sober for 7 months.
There you go. That's good. I'm asking yourself if we know if we need to work with you and staying here tonight, or if you need to.
That's why I've been in charge of the fire, because I know for a fact that I'm in control. And,
good on you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Is there anybody here that
certainly this doesn't apply to me? I'm going to keep it in control.
Right. No, everybody has a driver.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. We pride ourselves on our group specifically, that we're not like a party group.
Yeah.
Like, there's some out there that like get too rowdy and drink a bunch. And, we pride ourselves on that.
Sober party, chill.
Yeah. Did someone call it in?
I think someone driving by, yeah.
Yeah.
They said it was like 5-6 foot flames. Maybe it was when you guys first got started, or they exaggerated a little bit.
Probably exaggerating. I've kept it pretty maintained.
That's fine.
I keep a respectful fire.
Yeah.
I don't know why they stood down.
They did?
Fire was, so they're coming back. But
you want me to put it on? I got 5 gallons of water.
We're going to need more than 5 gallons of water for that.
Yeah.
Your bonfire.
Man.
We're going to need an actual fire truck.
I started.
I appreciate the enthusiasm, but let's let the professionals go down. Then we'll try and figure out how to get everyone moving. So,
we were talking about that. He says everybody's got, there's plans. Everybody can move along safely.
As long as some sober people
do. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I at least take a cool picture with you guys?
You can take a picture. Yeah. I don't mind.
Might as well.
Eric. And Luke, you're right. If the donkey was here,
let's see what this guy talks about. The donkey.
It's a different story.
You turn a donkey song on.
You guys have a donkey?
I have a pet donkey.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember the donkey that's just put in the paper?
The donkey.
Okay.
And so our thing is, I rescued the donkey. Rescued. I take donkey on different trips.
This donkey has his own Instagram.
Uh-huh.
It's like
it's a silverthorn donkey.
In the whole world, like religiously. And so, like, I've taken him hiking up the pass. I've taken him, like, Dillon Reservoir, like, all the trails, like Blue River Trail. And we just take donkey on walks.
Is it full size?
No, he's a mini.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he's a mini little boy.
Where is it now?
He's on a farm.
There we go. You want to get all your buddies away from the fire?
Yeah.
What?
All right, so it's illegal to build a campfire by the highway.
They're obviously locals.
Yeah.
Right?
So how did the donkey even come up in this whole situation?
That's so one of these guys. Yeah, what's funny is one of these guys, as it turns out, you know, recently in the last week or so, our local paper did this whole feature on this guy with this miniature donkey. And this donkey has its own IG page, and that he takes this donkey all over the county, like on white walks and hikes, and it's like a pet donkey. And then it turns out, as the story goes, that he worked on this ranch in Grand Junction, and that he felt the donkey was being abused, so he stole the donkey. And rather than getting charged, he decided that he would make good with the donkey owner in Grand Junction and buy the donkey from them. So now he's boarding it here in Silverthorn, and he's taking, like, he does weird things with the donkey and puts it all on it. The donkey has his own page.
I'm just still puzzled as to how the donkey even came up in this situation.
Because this guy, exactly. So this guy thinks that, like, everybody, now they're obviously trying to get away with staying there. So first he says, hey, you know, I'm responsible for this fire. I'm not going to let it get out of control. And then it was, that didn't work. Then it was, hey, we're all sober. We're not partiers. You know, we'd really like to stay. And when that didn't work, he thought he tried the donkey thing, thinking like everybody and nobody at that point, at least me or any of my staff, knew anything about a donkey.
Right.
So everyone like you, Tom, is scratching their head going, what does this have to do with that? That's why he says, do you have the donkey? Is the donkey here?
Right.
He's like, oh, no.
No, it's on a farm.
It's like, well, then what does a donkey have to do with the price of tea in China? Yeah. So he tried everything. You know, you would think, especially being locals, they'd be sensitive. Like, we don't appreciate having a big bonfire on the side of the road on the way up to A Basin, between Keystone and A Basin.
Yeah.
But these guys were just moved along. They weren't ticketed. They weren't
They packed up their stuff. Fire came, put it all out.
So it took more than 5 gallons to put it out.
I don't know what planet he's living on where he thought that a bonfire would be put out with 5 gallons of water.
Yeah.
It took a fire truck to put it out.
Wow.
Yeah, but they went on their way, and I have yet to see. This donkey is supposedly boarded like right along Highway 9 there north of Silverthorne.
Yeah.
I've yet to see the donkey out in the field with the horses, but supposedly he's there.
Well, I'm sure we'll see the donkey.
Maybe I should go take a picture with the donkey in uniform.
Yeah.
And post it.
Do a selfie with a donkey.
You know what?
Hey.
Hey. I know the ranch owners, and yeah. I know the donkey now.
There we go. Yeah, you're on a first-name basis with a donkey.
I think the donkey's name is Donkey.
Okay.
I wonder if it's Don Key.
Don Key. Hody is the last name.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a deputy on patrol.
There's the bad joke.
A deputy on patrol observed a vehicle going at a high rate of speed between Frisco and Breckenridge. And once the driver was identified, it was found that he had a felony warrant for human trafficking out of Texas. And we have audio on this one as well.
Hello. Hey, I'm Deputy Sullivan of the Sheriff's Office.
This is body cam audio.
Stopping at 83.
83 to 50.
You're hauling ass, or? I'm just going to go home now. Okay. Oh, okay, where are you coming from tonight? Silverthorne, what are you doing over there?
I'm sorry, I just had to interject. He said hauling ass on top of the donkey thing. I'm sorry. Sorry.
You ever human trafficking, hauling ass.
No? Where is it? You don't have it? Do you have, like, any ID? Like, okay. Okay. All right. Do me a favor, just sit tight, and I'll be right back, okay?
S-32, is there a unit with a fingerprint reader available?
S-32, I'm from the SS. Send a copy, thank you, at 107. S-22, this will be a felony full extradition out of Finn trafficking with a $100,000 bond.
S-10, I'm about 30 seconds out. A couple people are walking up to his car.
S-10, I copy. Thank you. S-22, additionally, your party is showing revoked habitual traffic offender, Colorado. I'll confirm.
Copy, thanks.
Human trafficking.
Human trafficking out of Texas.
Wow.
$100,000 warrant. So like the previous traffic stop we just talked about on this edition of the Justice Files, if you have a warrant out for your arrest,
you will go to jail.
Don't be doing 83 and a 50 with a revoked license.
Yeah.
And you heard him request a fingerprint reader. We've talked about those before on the Justice Files. Uh-huh. What a tool. Technology where they can just call another deputy to bring a fingerprint reader, and right there they can verify that that is the person, which they were able to do. So this person did go to jail. Car got towed. And is probably now, as we're talking here, is probably back in Texas, answering to that warrant.
Do we see human trafficking issues pop up in Summit County? I mean, is this an unusual case, or is this something?
Well,
that
the human trafficking occurred in Texas. That's where the warrant is out of.
Okay.
But to answer your question, I mean, I think to deny that human trafficking is going on anywhere,
right?
You're playing with blinders on.
Yeah.
We have not been able to discover any overt human trafficking. We have looked into, over the years, several complaints of human trafficking in various forms, and we have been unable to put together any criminal case.
It's a serious deal.
Oh, my gosh.
Very serious.
Horrible. Yeah. Horrible.
Let's
but again,
here's
a criminal saying, come arrest me if I'm driving 83 miles an hour. With a revoked driver's license.
And he was arrested.
And no insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always a good thing.
So don't get in an accident going 83 miles an hour if you have no insurance.
No. Not fun whatsoever. Let's talk about this harassment issue. A couple out walking their dog on the rec path were approached from the opposite direction by a man on a fat bike. As he passed, he stopped, got off his bike, and asked them if they had a problem. He then rode off after telling them not to talk to him. And we have audio.
Summit County 911, what is the address of the emergency?
7th Avenue and the bike path.
Okay.
There's a guy on a bicycle hassling us, and he's going to come back right now. So you better get here quick.
Guy on the bike who's hassling you?
Absolutely. On a fat bike, white shirt, blue pants, got threatening to fight us. Took his gloves and his helmet off to kick our ass. My wife and I are walking. He doesn't like us. He said we looked at him wrong.
Okay.
My wife has run into him before, and she did the same thing to him, to her, without me. We told him we were going to call the police. He said he already did.
Approximately how old is he?
50, 55. We saw him on Miner's Creek, and we either didn't get out of the trail fast enough for him, or he told me he didn't like the way that I looked. He did the same thing to my wife previously. So he's gone back towards the hospital, but he's a menace. He does have a flashing light on the front of his bike and on the back.
Okay.
So you might be able to find that. And you all probably know him. I think he lives up here.
Yeah, I was up here last year, and he did the same thing to me. I was by myself.
She'll find him.
And then he did it again, and it was just really weird.
It's really weird. He looks like a normal guy.
Yeah.
But he just went off on us. We didn't say a word to him.
He went off on me last year.
And we didn't say a word to him. He just needs to be talked to.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to stick around and help you find him if you want, but it's not okay. It's not okay. I mean, the guy literally took his gloves off, his helmet off, and he wanted to fight. He came back around. We haven't seen him for 20 minutes, but 20 minutes later, he came back to find us to fight us. I don't think that's okay.
Okay. All right, I will let you go, and if somebody calls you from a blocked or restricted number, just be sure to pick it up, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Grumpy biker. What's up with that dude?
It's not just during the summer, see?
Right? It's obvious. Any time of the year.
It's during the winter, too.
Wow.
I don't know. You know, this happened to him, like he said, 20 minutes apart. It happened twice, besides the previous one that the wife was talking about, or the woman. And, you know, it's too bad that he didn't call the first time it happened, because 20 minutes later it happened again, and by the time we got there, this guy was in the wind. We have since identified him, and we're out there looking for him and his bike, if in case he's listening. But that night, we did not find him, even with the flashing lights.
So you haven't had a chance to talk to this gentleman
We
yet?
Have not had a chance to talk to this gentleman. We do know who it is, and we are currently looking for him.
All right, let's hope that
and
there's...
And be nice to people on the bike path. Our red pass for everybody.
Share the path. Share the road.
Usually, we only have these... We talk about these things in the summer when you have bikers and skateboarders and rollerbladers and mothers with strollers. But the winter, it's kind of odd.
Well, and this has been a weird winter for snowpack. I mean, we haven't been able to get those cross-country Nordic trails or tracks on the rec path at all, so it's kind of hit or miss with snow coverage.
Yeah.
And getting the bike out is, you know, kind of a nice option. But it's like, well, okay, there will be other people sharing the path with you on your bike.
It's good we had the description of the flashing lights on the bike, because the only description we had to go on was he looks like a normal guy.
That's okay.
Okay. We'll write that down in the description.
Yeah. Normal.
Normal guy.
Guy. Yeah. Let's talk about this trespassing issue. An employee with Denver Water reported a couple of juveniles were fishing in a prohibited area near the Dillon Dam. When employees approached the juveniles, they ran away.
Yeah, they sure did.
Did they catch any fish? That's the question I've got.
Well, you know, as you know, that you know, Denver Water is really strict about people being on their property.
Very.
And the reason why they don't, well, there's many reasons why they don't like where they were hanging out is where many people try to go fish at Denver Water, and it's right where the glory hole comes out and the water comes out. Because if you've ever...
This is below the dam.
Below the dam. Right. If you've ever stood down there, there are monsters living in that water.
Absolutely.
Right there. Because they're getting all of that really rich food that's coming out of the bottom of the lake.
The Mises shrimp.
I wasn't even attempting, because I'm like, I know it's some sort of shrimp thing.
Yeah, and that's what it is.
Look at you.
Yeah, I have a fly to imitate that.
Oh,
pattern.
Look at you.
Oh, absolutely. That's
so I have stood down there at the bottom of the dam with Denver Water employees and seen these monsters.
Uh-huh.
And it's no joke. So every once in a while, we find people down there, and they have a really strict policy where they want everybody sighted that gets caught down there. So, you know, usually in a case like this, especially with kids, we probably just warn them, like, don't fish here. You know you shouldn't fish here. Look at all the signs all over the fences.
Right.
And it's really dangerous to hang out at the bottom of a dam where water's gushing out of. But, they were cited. Denver Water wanted them summons to court, so they were. So them and their parents will be appearing in court for trespassing on Denver Water property.
And Denver Water has the property marked off pretty well, too. I mean, you can see where the fencing is. You can see where the signs are.
Yeah, you can't say you didn't know.
Right. And there's still good fishing access to that stretch of the Blue River below the dam. It's just you got to stay out of the dam, the Denver Water property. That damn property.
But those monsters don't seem to venture really past. They stay up close.
Yeah.
They stay up close.
Yeah, they do.
But boy, those are some, I mean, those are some fish.
I've caught some big ones out of there.
See?
It takes a little patience and...
Because they're spoiled, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
They don't need your lure.
It's one of the most high-pressure fished areas in the state, I'm sure, right behind the outlets.
Gold medal fishing, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What is the name of the shrimp again?
Mysis shrimp.
Mysis.
M-Y-S-I-S, I believe is how it's spelled. Mysis shrimp.
Mysis.
Yeah, they inhabit the lower... The lower levels of the reservoir. So when they release water out from below, the bottom, that's when the shrimp get released and the fish just go crazy.
With their mouth open.
Oh, yeah. They just sit there and wait.
Says biologist Tom Fricke.
Yeah, right. Entomologist.
Entomologist. Yeah. Oh, wow. I even had that wrong. See, this is why I'm a cop. You don't need to know those things if you're a cop. to be sheriff, you don't need to know that. You just need to know that there's big fish down there and it's illegal to fish. That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. That's all.
Mysis shrimp.
Let's talk about this fraud with a homeowner who rented his condo to a man who was supposed to be conducting repairs on the unit. However, instead of making the necessary improvements, the man caused damage to the condo and listed it on the short-term rental site Airbnb, which was prohibited by the lease agreement.
Can you imagine? And this happens more frequently. Let's try that again. This happens more frequently than you think. That someone, someone that owns an Airbnb will send out, looking for a contractor to do some repairs. Someone will go, hey, I'll do those repairs for you. And then they really subcontract your unit underneath you.
Oh, jeez.
And they just keep telling you, oh, it's just going to take you a little more time, Tom. We need another month.
Yeah.
And, meanwhile, they're raking it in every night.
Oh, thank God.
Since the time this guy was evicted and moved out, there were 8 different people that showed up after saying that they had rented this place.
Do we know what he was charging?
No, I'm sure whatever the going rate, I'm sure it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
So deputies have been working with Airbnb and the owner of the unit to, trying to get information out of Airbnb is like trying to get it out of, Facebook. Mm. You know what I mean?
You
think they'd want to work with law enforcement.
You would think.
But we're working diligently with them to try to figure out, obviously the owner of the condo knows who this person is, but to try to put together all of these people and how much money they've been defrauded out of. Every person that shows up is another person that says, but I put down $1,000 deposit. I put down whatever I did. So be careful out there. There's fraud everywhere.
So is this guy busted? What happened?
He will be. They're working still with him to get all the information and build a case before they put a warrant out for his arrest.
Case is ongoing. Stay tuned.
Case is ongoing.
A deputy witnessed a vehicle drive nearly into a curb and then swing back onto its lane before crossing the center line and driving down the middle of the roadway before eventually swerving back in the correct lane and coming to a stop at a stop sign. This person appears to be a bit impaired.
So this is another one, as last week we talked about on the Justice Files, where they walk up, the guy just, reeks of booze, the bloodshot. I mean, almost like right out of a movie, right? The bloodshot, watery eyes. And, of course, nothing but beer, open and closed beer cans littered all over the car.
Wow.
But he only had 2 beers.
Oh, that's all?
Yes.
Yeah, in the last 20 minutes.
There were 24 open and empty in there.
Yeah.
But he only had 2.
That's it.
And needless to say, he failed, he was not sober. He was not safe to drive. Went to jail for DUI and was booked on several charges, including DUI.
Don't drive drunk or impaired.
Yeah, and my hat's off to the deputies out there really enforcing these driving under the influence. I mean, we've got to, all joking aside that you and I do, having these people on the road is horrible.
Absolutely. Oh, and especially God. In the resort communities where we live. I mean, it's a destination for a lot of people coming on vacation, and they want to do a little partying, but once they do the partying, they should just stay put.
Yes. Yeah. Please do. Or call an Uber, but don't argue with them or pass out in the back of it. Exactly. We've talked about that on the Justice Files as well.
Find a sober driver if you can.
Remember where you live.
That's always a good idea.
Maybe create like your own contact card in your contact so you can just show an Uber driver like this is where, even if you can't see it.
Yeah.
Just show it to them.
I'm right here.
You think Uber would, and I don't know because I don't use Uber, maybe they do, but they would create a thing where you create your profile in there and you can put your address in there. Yeah. So the driver already knows like, oh, it's just Tom again.
Yeah.
Get in, Tom.
Unless we'll he wants to go home. Somewhere else.
Well, at least you know where, you, at least for a default, you yes. know like you can take him home.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about
laughing at me going, hey, Sheriff, that already exists.
That's it.
If not, there's a paperclip idea right there.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Someone can get rich off of there. It is.
I think so. Yep. Free, courtesy of the Summit County tomorrow Justice now Files. Out there.
Yeah. Courtesy of the Summit County Sheriff.
Let's talk about the man who reported that his car was hit and damaged while being parked in Dillon Valley. No one left a note, but he could say that it had occurred in the last few hours. With no witnesses or suspects, deputies had little to go on, and we have audio from this incident.
This is a good one.
Is this body cam audio?
This is body cam audio.
Okay.
Hi, I'd like to report my car was hit in the parking
lot. Oh, it's both,
lot,
actually.
And, just a hit and run.
The person that hit your vehicle, are they still unseen or no?
No, if I just came out, my car has been tagged.
When was the last time you saw your vehicle?
Let's see. Probably 2 hours ago.
All right, perfect. I'm going to go ahead and get this information over to our officers.
All righty.
All righty. They should be reaching out here shortly. Sorry that that happened to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
What a polite dispatcher.
Sheriff's office.
Now the body cam.
Now the body cam. There's a deputy contact.
Sorry to wake you up.
You can just come in if you'd like.
Thank you. Yeah.
He's coming.
Okay. Do you have any idea why we might be here?
From probably the call I made last night, I'm assuming.
You made
contacting the suspect.
The call. He was missing for most of the night last night.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, man. How are you doing? Everything all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you come home safe and all that?
Yep.
Okay, where were you at? You're not in trouble for that or anything like that.
No, I was out door dashing last night, and then she was trying to get hold of me, and so I just came home.
Okay, gotcha. Were you driving the 4Runner?
Yeah.
Gray 4Runner? Okay.
Yep.
How did that damage on the front end happen?
Somebody ran into the front end of my car while I was out door dashing.
While you were out door dashing?
Yeah.
Okay, so that didn't happen here?
No.
Okay, but you were driving it last night?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what we're here to talk to you about.
Okay.
If that's not what happened, just be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, because we have someone else whose car got hit. They have a piece of that yellow light opposite to the other one, and it matches up exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So if you hit this car, just be honest, it's not a huge deal.
The cops have the evidence.
From what I'm seeing, it looks pretty clear that your car banged up this other car, this maroon Outback.
Okay.
Okay. So were you coming home? Did you happen to hit it and just park somewhere else? Something like that? So the reason we're talking to you is because your car, the damage to your car matches up with the damage to someone else's car. Okay.
They're feeding it to him, right?
Out in Keystone, somebody hit my car.
Okay. And how come you didn't report
somebody hit him now
in Keystone?
Because I just didn't think that anybody would do anything about it.
Okay. So that's the damage to your car.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And that, see that little yellow piece?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's in someone else's hands right now.
Okay.
That's because that happened to someone else's car, and that little yellow piece was found right there.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Okay,
yeah.
So I just be honest with you, Jeffrey. It's not a huge deal. Did you end up hitting that car last night?
No.
No.
No. 100% no. I would have owned up to it. I would have owned up to her. Like, seriously.
Okay.
So where did the accident keystone happen? Exactly.
I was parked in...
Wait for it, Tom.
Oh, where was it?
DoorDash.
It was over at the, here, I can get the address.
Was there anyone else there that might have saw it?
No.
No?
No, I literally just, like, walked out to my car and I was just there.
Okay.
So he's not saying where.
Did you hit someone?
Oh, he will. Just wait, you're gonna laugh.
All right.
Okay. And where was this at? Exactly.
That's what I'm trying to look up real quick.
But he's doing DoorDash, right? He's delivering food.
Do you see how I'm starting to believe that you maybe hit this other car? Because they have a piece of your headlight found next to where their car was damaged.
Like the matching piece.
Yeah.
But
like, you're not going to go to jail or anything if you want to tell me the truth. Because I'm having a hard time believing.
Like, deputy's giving them every chance.
Someone
right?
else just so happened to hit your car last night and a piece of your headlight was found next to someone else's car.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it was over on.
I understand what you're saying,
Swan
but
Mountain
I didn't
Road.
Do it.
Swan Lake.
Okay, so you were parked on Swan Mountain Road?
Yes.
Delivered DoorDash.
Where exactly on Swan Mountain Road?
So I'm pulling up real quick.
So I'm trying to think of a place that could possibly happen on Swan where you would sit there and park.
Jeffy's like, there's nobody lives on Swan Mountain Road.
Walk away Why were you there? DoorDashing. Look. That happens and...
This guy's just digging in. Like he's
nobody
digging
else
in.
Is there on
wow.
Swan. I'm going to give you a chance to be honest, man. Do you see how everything's lining up?
I understand what you're saying.
And you're not going to get your license taken away. We're not going to walk away with your license or anything like that. I just want to have an answer for these
people.
Debbie's
going to give him a ticket.
Because they have a piece of your headlight.
That's it. A ticket.
I don't believe it's my headlight.
No.
I believe
no.
it is.
Okay.
It looks exactly the same, man.
The Debbie's telling me it's exactly the match.
No, oh, I don't believe that. It's mine.
Okay.
I don't believe that's my
headlight. So we go to the pieces. Matches, the broken pieces match exactly.
I want to show you this again. Hey, you're going to tell me those aren't the same exact ones.
That's not
right. That deputy's patient, yes. right? Just
no,
patient. Just like
very
write the
patient.
Ticket. Just write the ticket.
No, just tell us so we can tell them and they have an answer. They don't have to wonder if their stuff's going to get replaced. If you have insurance and all that, they'll handle everything. Just so you know, we have all day to figure this out. So we could either knock it out right now and be done with it, or we will go get this piece, go line it up, go to Keystone, figure out where this happened. If what you're saying is true, we will figure it out.
Yeah.
We got all day.
No, that's fine.
So what'd you stop off at Swan for?
Drop off at DoorDash.
DoorDash. Swan Mountain?
Yeah.
DoorDash!
So someone was ordering DoorDash.
On Swan Mountain.
On the side of the road?
Yeah.
On the side of
no,
the road.
No, I just parked there to go drop off to somebody else.
Okay, and who is this person that you might have met?
He just keeps digging himself deeper.
Wow.
I don't know.
At what point do you just go, okay, I did it.
There's like literally next to no residences on Swan Mountain.
There's no residences.
Nothing, no.
It's a rural road.
Yes. I mean, Summit Cove, but that's at the bottom of the hill.
What?
Plenty of people over there.
No one's at the campgrounds. I can't think of one place
are closed.
You park,
yeah.
walk away from your car long enough that you, one, wouldn't see it, two, wouldn't hear it. You see what I'm saying? It's not a big deal. So someone else has a piece of your headlight. It's kind of hard to believe that you didn't smack a car on your way in or out of this parking lot.
I understand what you're saying.
Is there a
don't.
Reason that you don't have much to show us right now?
I understand.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to pull up anything that I can do.
Were you driving when you weren't supposed to be driving? If you understand what I'm saying?
No.
Okay.
Were you drinking last night?
I was not.
Okay. He was.
You're just trying to look up receipts right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Just hang out here with my partner,
yeah,
all right?
Wow, this guy would not
Isn't
fess
that crazy?
Up. That's he's yeah. just digging in, digging
so,
in.
So any of our listeners that might not be local, Swan Mountain Road is a rural, just back road
that goes around the lake that connects Breckenridge to Dillon, to Summit Cove.
And there's a couple of campgrounds along the way, but they're all closed off during the winter.
There's no homes along this road.
Like I said, Summit Cove, that's like at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah, but he was talking about like he dug in the middle of Swan Mountain Road.
Wow.
He's like, oh, no, I was door dashing. I was dropping off food. What? Someone hit me.
And
he's like, you know this guy who you hit has your piece of your lens that matches the hole in your car.
Wow.
Thank God the guy that was hit that collected the evidence himself on scene.
No kidding.
Yeah. They ended up writing a ticket.
Wrap my mind around on Swan Mountain Road where the guy is going to be doing a delivery where he's not going to be able to see his car and it gets hit when he comes back. Like, okay, that story just is totally.
There's
totally
no wrong. Version where that no. story made sense.
None whatsoever.
It got the patience of that deputy.
Giving him multiple chances to come clean.
Just to be honest.
Yeah. So what did we get to the bottom of this?
I wrote him a ticket for failure to for leaving the scene of an accident, hit and run.
Where was the parking lot? Where was the actual
Dillon Valley?
In Dillon Valley.
Dillon Valley.
Okay, so it wasn't Keystone.
No.
Okay.
And so this is where this guy was door dashing was in Dillon Valley.
Yeah.
And he probably was drinking, and he probably was on Swan Mountain Road at some point during that night, and that's all he remembers is that he was on Swan Mountain Road. And in his mind, he's putting together like he was in Dillon Valley, but it was Swan Mountain Road.
And you can hear him trying to pull up like receipts of where he's. He said, "Dude, you don't remember where you were? You've got to pull up receipts." Like, come on, man. And I'm sure there wasn't a receipt from Swan Mountain Road either.
I'm sure. And that's why he couldn't find it, because he's looking for Swan Mountain Road, and all the receipts are in Dillon Valley.
Whoopsie.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Yeah, and the neighborhood we're talking about is nowhere near Swan Mountain Road.
Right.
No, it's miles away.
Okay.
Oh, the only thing that would have made it funnier is if the guy who was hit the vehicle was one of the customers at DoorDash.
That would have been great. Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Well, stay tuned. There's always future episodes of the Justice Files.
You never know how this is going to turn out.
Let's talk about this welfare check. Deputies were dispatched to the local transit center on a report of a man who was unconscious and not responsive. Contact was made with a man who turned out to be highly intoxicated. EMS was requested and assisted the man for medical treatment. Nothing criminal was found. Just a drunk.
Just drunk at the transit center. I mean, we unfortunately come across these people that use our transit center in Frisco for somewhere to hang out. And even though there's security that goes between the Frisco and Silverthorne transit centers to try to stop things like this, you know, our deputies unfortunately run into this, and with our detox center closed, it becomes problematic, because where we used to rely on detox to take people to when they have no other sober party to release them to, now that we don't have a sober party to release them to, we have to find other alternatives of something to do with them if they're homeless.
Do you have to take them to jail?
That would be the ultimate alternative. Would be, okay, we have nowhere else to take them but jail.
Right.
So, and we don't like to do that. So.
No, not at all. Let's talk about a motorist assist. Deputies received a call for help from a driver who reported that her vehicle was not moving and that the four-wheel drive function of the vehicle wasn't working. And we have audio on this as well.
Hi.
Hi. You stuck?
Body cam.
Okay. Don't have snow tires?
I think these are, it's like four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive. But
really?
It's a long
Okay.
It's a long story.
I don't even know. I think it was this road.
Uh-huh.
Way back there. And someone kind of crossed the middle. And so I was like on the right side of the road. And my tire got... Sorry, that's a timer. My tire got caught in a crack in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And don't know what happened, but it went flat immediately. So
okay. It didn't look flat when I just looked at it.
That's
I can take
spare.
Another... Oh, okay.
That's the spare. Because I called my dad and I called insurance, and they came and put a spare on some towing company.
Okay.
And then I was driving along fine with that. I think like the fastest I went was 30 miles an hour because I was stuck behind traffic.
Okay.
And then I was pressing the gas and it was just revving and not going. So, yeah. Hmm.
Can you try it for me just so I can kind of see what's going on?
Yeah.
And are you always in four-wheel drive, or do you have to shift it into four-wheel drive? Do you know?
I don't know.
Don't know?
Sorry?
Okay. I wonder if it doesn't work because you've got a spare on. All right. Can you still try it for me just so I can see what's going on?
Go forward a little bit. It'll make like a loud noise. So.
Okay.
I'll try to, like, do you want me to pull up over there and see if it'll
get yeah, maybe a little bit farther up into the driveway, a little farther off the road.
Of course now it's working.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It's working now.
Yeah, you can make it back to Silverthorn. Just go slow.
Are you sure? What if it does it again?
Yeah, then pull over.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can go slow.
Okay, I live in Denver.
Okay.
So...
if you want it, the roads are really bad, obviously.
Yeah.
Same thing with I-70.
Yeah.
So if you want to try to spend the night in, like, Silverthorn, Dillon, Frisco area.
The issue is I'm 18, so I can't get a hotel or anything.
18. Explains
so
it all.
To your mom. Yeah. It sounds like if you want
to... You spoke to her?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good. I was worried about that.
Yeah. It sounds like if you want to spend the night in, like, Summit County, your mom and dad would get you a hotel.
Okay. Sounds good.
So give them a call. See what's going on.
Okay.
I'll also call them back.
I don't have any service here, which is
okay. Yeah, I'll give them a call back.
Okay.
And let them know that you'll call them when you get
into
town.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sound good?
Yeah.
All right.
Another case of the lack of driver education courses.
Inexperienced driver.
Inexperienced.
Wasn't in gear.
Just doesn't have a clue.
Call 911. Car wasn't in gear.
Wow.
Had just gone through a flat tire. You know, traumatic. 18 years old. From Denver. Not familiar with the area. Called mom and dad. Her mom and dad ended up getting her a place up here, but it was inexperienced driving. I mean, it's crazy. You know, I think back, you know, when my daughter was 18 and some of the inexperience that she had, and I think, oh my God, I could imagine her parents in Denver getting that call.
Oh, going,
oh my God, the car, I have a flat tire and it won't go into gear.
And hysteria.
And you feel so hopeless because it's a storm. I-70's a mess.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did the right thing saying, just call 911 and get a cop to help, get a deputy to help you. And we did. We showed up and we helped him. It was her. It was great.
Thank you to the Summit County Sheriff's Office.
Listen.
Yeah. Let's talk about a dispute. A woman in unincorporated Summit County reported that her neighbor was upset about the smell and noise from an idling vehicle in the driveway.
Yeah, you know, especially in our cold months here, which is most of the time, many people leave their cars idling. A lot of people get their cars stolen because of it.
Right.
You know, the law says that you can only leave your car idling if you have a remote.
And if you can lock it.
Lock it, and then it cuts it off, and you can't drive without the remote.
Right.
So the car's kind of useless sitting there running to any would-be thief. But we get complaints about this all the time, especially during the winter. Because, you know, with some of the density and some of the places people live here in Summit County, if you're not in a home, if you're in an apartment building or if you're in a condo or in, like this instance, that not only the noise, but people don't think they leave their headlights on. They leave their radio blasting. This was all of the above and the exhaust. And at the end of the day, the lady just wanted a deputy to go next door and say, Can you be a little more thoughtful? Because it's always really early in the morning or late at night. It's not during the day.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, you know, when you see people doing this, and it's always like no one thinks, like, I should turn off my headlights before tomorrow morning I start my car.
Right.
I should turn down my radio. Because when you get out of your car, you've been driving and your radio's blasting. Uh-huh. And you know what I mean? You just turn the key and turn it off.
Right.
All that goes on at 4 in the morning when you're remote starting your car and letting it run.
Not a good thing.
Oh, no.
No. Let's talk about the visitors that were staying in an Airbnb in unincorporated Breckenridge. They called early in the morning after hearing voices coming from the loft. They reported that they thought that they were the only people staying at the property, and they came back earlier to find the burglary alarm sounding off. They didn't find anything suspicious at the time, so they reset it, got ready for bed, but they could hear thumping sounds now. Thought that somebody might be there.
Crazy, right?
Was there somebody there?
There was somebody there.
Oh.
Wasn't a burglar.
Okay.
It was an attached lock off.
Oh, really?
That no one failed to disclose. Like, the owners of the building didn't say, hey, Tom, while you run our Airbnb, you should
know
that there is a lock off that shares a wall to your bedroom.
You'll have neighbors.
So you can imagine what the thumping sound was.
No.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And, but you would think, like, you come home and the alarm's going off and you're just going to reset it. That's it. You're not going to, like, have maybe, especially if you're renting the place, you're not going to call and say, can someone come check out this place? But we did pull the audio on this, thinking that it could be pretty funny, and it wasn't as exciting as it could have, as you imagine it could have been.
Yeah.
Right. But it happened to be an attached lock off that was not disclosed to them.
So do we know what set off the burglary alarm?
It may have been their thumping.
Oh, okay. Could have been.
Could have been.
Don't know.
No? Because they never called. They just reset it and went to bed.
But everything's fine.
Everything checked out.
That's good. Search and rescue got involved. Deputies were dispatched to a vehicle that had become high-centered in soft snow on the side of a trail closed to vehicle traffic this time of year near Georgia Pass. A man decided to ignore a seasonal road closure sign, continued on the snowmobile trail, making it about 3.5 miles before getting stuck in the snow and blocking the trail. We have audio on this instance as well.
Hey, quite a ways up here. How'd you get so far? I was doing fine until I was snapping up because I was getting on the going farther. And then I was stuck there first all night, and then I dug myself out. And then when I reversed it, I was trying not to hit the tree, but I ended up hitting it. And then
it took on the other side, you hit it?
Yeah, I lost my mirror in my back feet. Yeah. You know, I'm just digging myself out. I think I can get myself out of this. Like, downhill, I already messed up my car.
We might be able to get you onto a hard caddy.
Okay, thank you.
So what brought you up here?
I was just exploring.
You didn't see all the closed signs for the road down there? That's just vehicles?
Well, I saw the cones, but people looked like there was like a way over it. And then I didn't see the closed signs. I saw the signs that said that private lands or national forest. So I thought it was okay. I didn't see the closed. To be honest, I didn't see anything that said closed. I wouldn't have came.
Yeah, they were all down the bottom. Big signs, red, closed.
So what happened with this guy?
So, you know, this is another frequent occurrence during our winter. We have many roads here that during the winter either get groomed for Nordic skiing. And so this happens around our golf courses, usually here in Summit County. But occasionally this happens. This happened at the end of Tiger Road, which is a snowmobiling tour company at the end of there. And they actually groom this trail going up to Georgia Pass. It's a four-wheel drive trail during the summer, and during the winter, it's a snowmobile trail. This guy went through, I mean, I know all the signs up there. There's no way to miss the closed signs.
There's at least three that I can think of just off the top of my head.
You can't miss them.
Right.
This guy decided, like he said, he wanted to go exploring, made it 3.5 miles on the groomed trail, and then got stuck, slid off the groomed trail into some trees.
It's impressive he made it that far.
I was shocked he made it that far. Some good grooming,
I guess.
Like made it, you know, he'd been there overnight, so it's probably if they groomed it and it froze, so it was nice and solid.
Sure, yeah.
But to add insult to injury, the people that went up there to help us retrieve him with their snowcat was the snowmobile company with their snowcat, with their winch. You know, this guy obviously got cited too for doing what he did. But this is maybe you wouldn't be shocked, especially in the beginning when GPS mapping first came out.
Right,
this would happen all the time.
Setting up closed roads all the time.
But you know, last year we posted a picture of a car at the base of Keystone that had sunk in the snow, that had tried to drive up the road in Keystone there on the resort. Last year. So, I mean, this happens, but you would think that even if you drove past the closed signs that you would realize, wait a minute, this is a groomed trail. What am I doing driving on a groomed trail?
And when you don't see any other car tracks.
Oh, my gosh.
You're thinking, wow, yeah. I got freshies today.
Yeah. And, of course, this is the perfect slide off where he was stuck between two trees.
Okay.
Like, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
It's like it's somewhere in that body cam audio where he says, you know, I could probably get out of this. It's like, well, you wouldn't have called 911 if you thought you could get out.
Right.
And if you've been digging out all night. So he completely destroyed the trail.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I don't know if he worked that out with the snowmobile company or what, but that's horrible. Thank God he got out alive. He didn't freeze to death. Thank God he got humble enough to call 911 before he did freeze to death.
That's a good
and
thing.
Spend the whole night out there.
Right.
But we got him out of there.
Cited?
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. Left with a coupon.
Let's talk about this trespassing issue. There was a resident of Dillon Valley reported that there was an unknown male who's been frequently camping in his van in the parking lot at his condo building. He had previously reported the issue, but was further reporting that he had now seen the male defecating in the parking lot. dude taking a shit in the parking lot?
Isn't that something?
What the heck is going on?
Just out in the open.
Yeah.
Like we're in the inner city somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
What has become of Dillon Valley? So this was a second report that we have gotten of this person in like a week of doing the same thing, living in the van and taking a dump in the parking lot. I don't know if people are so surprised about what he's doing that no one thinks to take a picture, like, right. A, of him doing it, and B, of, like, the van and the license plate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was gone, obviously, by the time we got there. It's a shitty story no matter how you look at it. But
there we go.
What a crappy ending.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. We could go on.
On and on and on. We have not found him, but we're on the scent.
Did he at least bag up his poop and leave it for somebody else to pick up? Like they do with dogs?
No doggy bags.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't.
Jeez. So you're still looking for this guy?
Yeah, I said we're on the scent.
Gotcha.
We're scent.
Oh, there. Let's talk about the threats and menacing incident. Deputies responded to a residence in unincorporated Breckenridge after receiving multiple reports of a male threatening to kill himself and others. This was kind of a serious deal.
Yeah. Yeah, this has just happened. This is a guy that was happened to be in crisis and had a lot of other things going on, and then all of a sudden started writing text messages to his friends, sort of like a detailed outline of what he was going to go do at the Breck Ski Resort, and that he was gonna shoot a lot of people and then himself, and then make the cops kill him. He was going to do suicide by cop at the end of it. Thank God, A, that he texted someone about this and that this someone called 911. You and I talked about this on the radio last week, where this is great. See something, say something, by all means, because we can stop things, and we did something like this. We set up on this guy's house and we waited till he came out the door, and he came out according to his timeline. So, I mean, he was right on time to what he was saying he was going to go do. And of course, we since we had the house surrounded, we scooped him right up as he came out his front door. But this is one of these things that you and I talked about on the air last week on Crystal 93, about that it's great that he said something. It's great that a friend that got these messages called 911. The part that wasn't great, then that friend then spread it to 20 other friends.
Yeah.
So it was out on social media. We were trying to beat the narrative. We had the Breckenridge Medical Center, which is the base of Peak 8, as you know, went into lockdown because someone there had heard about it. This is all before the law enforcement response. So as we're responding to it in real time, we're also here administratively dealing on the back end, trying to get information out to the public because we're trying to beat the narrative. Be better if we didn't have to do that.
So this could have been a massive tragedy that was prevented
yes.
by the Summit County Sheriff's Office.
Kudos to everybody. Kudos to the person that reached out to us.
Yeah.
Great job by all the deputies and town police officers that were involved that took this guy into custody without incident. It couldn't have been more textbook in the community's favor.
Charges pending?
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah. Big charges.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a suspicious occurrence. A concerned resident called deputies after two individuals came to their door passing out flyers. The resident felt that they were trying to look past her into the home and were asking questions unrelated to selling things, which she found suspicious. She also reported that they were going door to door in the neighborhood, looking in her neighbor's windows. And we have audio on this incident as well.
Kenny 911.
Oh, there's just there's some guys going door to door around here that they seem to be looking in windows and kind of casing houses under the guise of just asking kind of random questions. Two guys. Actually, it might be up to. Yeah, there's two.
Okay, and when was the last time you saw them?
They're here right now. They just came to our door, and now they're going to the other doors on the cul-de-sac.
Did they knock on your door?
They did, and then they started asking questions about
unrelated to selling anything. They're kind of trying to look in the house.
We've already let our deputies know, and they're en route. If they come back to your house, please give me a call back on 911. Where do you see them right now? Do you know which house that they're at right now?
Yeah, they're going door to door. We're at the very end of the cul-de-sac, and they seem to be working their way towards the front part of the cul-de-sac. Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you have a good day.
Yeah, you do.
Now the body cam.
Now the body cam.
So I got a call about you guys. Can you roll this window down? Going door to door in the neighborhood up here.
Okay.
Knocking on some doors, asking people about their homes and looking in windows. What's going on?
Okay. We're Jehovah's Witnesses. We're out doing our preaching work.
Okay.
I don't know about looking in windows.
Okay.
That isn't our thing, but...
okay.
But yeah, we were just going out, talking with people about the Bible.
All good there.
I would hope so.
Did you guys go up in people's windows and look in the windows, or no? No?
I didn't.
Okay.
That certainly was not our intention.
Okay.
I mean, there's obviously windows on the doors.
What, like the front doors and stuff?
Yeah, but
okay.
We weren't, like...
Here, all good. And then you live over in Silverthorne, correct?
I do.
You do. Okay. Yep. You guys, do you just have your ID on you really quick? But I'll get you guys out of here, okay? No, just a driver. That's fine. I already have your information. I ran the license plate and stuff like that. I just need his really quick. Some people just get a little weirded out by it sometimes, right? And then they call us. So.
For sure.
Yeah. For sure. Just sit tight. I'll be right back and I'll get you guys out of here, okay?
Perfect.
All right. Thank you, guys. You guys, when you go door to door, do you guys have any like business cards or anything that you hand out, or pamphlets or anything?
It doesn't have any of our contact information, but it has our website.
Cool. Just by scanning like the QR code and stuff like that.
One, two.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions for me?
No. I don't think so.
Have a good day. Okay.
Appreciate
Thanks for keeping the neighborhood safe.
Yeah. Trying to at least, good. Right?
Yeah. You know, people are. I can understand because like if someone comes to my door, I'm immediately like, "Who are you? And why
sure.
are you here?" So we understand if people get, we try to not make them uncomfortable, but.
Yeah, and I think like you said, people don't really go door to door anymore. So like when people do, people are like, what is going on? Yeah. Like, who are these people, you know?
For sure.
That's true.
If you could let them know, sorry if we felt that.
I'll call them back. I'll talk to them.
It was not our intention to make them feel uncomfortable.
No, I get it. Yeah. Have a good day, okay, guys?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Boy, when's the last time you heard about Jehovah's Witnesses going door to door?
You're right. Spreading the word. Knocking on doors. I just remember when we were kids, somebody would knock on the door, the doorbell would ring. I got it. I'll get it.
Yes.
And you're running to the door to see who it is. Say, oh my gosh, who it is. And now somebody knocks on the door these days.
Oh my
shh, be quiet.
Yeah,
be quiet.
Gun behind the door.
Quiet. Maybe they'll go away. Be quiet.
And when they were knocking on our doors, and they're either selling encyclopedias, vacuums, or Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh my gosh.
Or the Mormons.
Yeah.
The Mormons used to come around.
Mm-hmm.
But, this turned out to be Jehovah's Witnesses. You saw how friendly they sounded. It sounds like, why weren't you that friendly with the people that you were knocking on the doors?
I mean, exactly.
Why do you wait till the cops show up?
Uh-huh.
And what also I thought was interesting was that they said that, you know, they're not handing out pamphlets and stuff anymore. It's a QR code on a business card.
Wow.
QR... Crazy, right?
Well, saving the environment and protecting our trees.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that conversation... I don't know. Yeah, who goes door-to-door anymore?
I know.
Who goes door-to-door?
It just doesn't happen.
Unless you're DoorDash.
Well, there's that. But then you're expecting somebody.
So maybe
if
you're a DoorDash guy and you carry the Jehovah's Witness card with you, you can knock them both out.
Don't be giving them any ideas. There was an instance of assault at St. Anthony Summit Hospital. The staff called for help after an unruly patient bit a staff member while also thrashing around and causing a disturbance.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about these things before. You know, unfortunately, hospital staff sometimes gets some of these unruly patients, usually due to either crisis or intoxication. And, you know, we've gone through phases with the hospitals where doctors and nurses don't want to, they consider them patients and they don't want to pursue any charges. But then the hospital, you know, their legal and risk department started saying, we've got to do something about this.
Well, especially when the dude bites somebody. Okay, that's assault.
That's an assault.
Yeah.
So this person, they were now restrained by the time the deputies did get there, but they did give this guy a ticket for assault. So, I mean, we've got to set a standard. Like, this behavior is not okay. And these people are trying to help you.
Yeah.
People want to fight cops, too, though. So, I mean, who...
we'll ask
questions. What makes you think you're going to win that?
We'll ask questions, and sometimes we'll have answers, and sometimes it's an open-ended question that has no answer.
There it is.
Or at least not an immediate answer, anyway.
Right.
Let's talk about a search and rescue incident. A pair of skiers set out for what intended to be a quick one-hour trek on Buffalo Mountain. However, they lost the trail. And as time passed and the sun began to set, they found themselves in a difficult situation and they didn't have any headlamps.
Yeah, you know, talk about being unprepared. Or I should say, we always talk about be prepared when you go in the backcountry. Be prepared for anything. These people went out on skis, were totally unprepared. I happened to be here at the office leaving, I think, when this call came. Yeah, so it was getting near dark when this call was coming out. And one more time, Tom, technology, our drones, we got a drone up in the air because we knew the sun was setting. The drone found them. We were able to communicate with them through the drone, and we were able to link up with them, and then we showed them the way out with the proper lighting.
Very nice.
It was another drone save, which is incredible, because this type of thing in the past could have turned out tragically, whether it be frostbite, death, you name it, or having to spend the night overnight in the forest because it's pitch black now and we can't find you and you can't find us. But it's been such a game. I know we talk about it often, but it's been such a game changer for us, the use of drones.
Drones really help out a lot, and unfortunately, there's been a ban for the drones that we're using. DJI is the company, and it's a company that I've given a lot of business to. I've bought many drones through those.
You are a drone?
I'm a drone aficionado and a licensed operator. And, well, the Summit County Sheriff's Office, you obviously have a couple of models above where I'm at, because you've got infrared, LiDAR, I mean, all the features on it. But the company is DJI, and for some reason, the government decides to ban the products completely in the United States.
Crazy. Fortunately to buy American, they can't produce the product.
Right.
That's the problem we're having.
Right. I mean, they can produce the product, but it's going to be an exorbitant cost.
Yes.
Way above and beyond what you'd pay for DJI. And I don't understand the whole ban at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard stories that, they're afraid of security that could leak information to China. It's like, well, if that's the case, then why aren't any other countries in the world issuing this ban? It's only the United States, and it makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and Tom, you know, you say, that it makes it more expensive. I mean, it's even out of our price range. It's more than 10 times the price that we're paying for drones out of DJI. So, I mean, it's crazy, because what we don't want to happen is we don't want to get behind the technology and it's going to force us out of the market, and the community can't afford for us to be forced out of the market.
Well, fortunately, the DJI products that have been manufactured and are in the States are still available.
Yeah.
And it's not an outright ban, so if you have a DJI drone, that doesn't mean that you can't fly it anymore. You can fly it.
Yeah.
It's just that you're not going to get battery when you want a spare battery. It's like, sorry, DJI, they can't ship it to the U.S.
Yeah, and if you can find some on the shelf, you can buy them.
Yeah, but good luck.
Good luck.
It's not your standard C battery. When's the last time anybody used a C battery
What is a C battery?
Or a D battery.
Oh, my God.
Like, remember those?
Flashlights. Flashlights used to be diesel.
Those mag lights.
Yeah. And they were huge because people thought they were huge because cops used them as a baton. They were huge because it took that many batteries to get a good light for cops to use at night.
It's like 500 lumen. Oh, boy. And now you get the headlamp with a little little AA cell in, the AAA cell in, and it gives out 1,000 lumen.
It's crazy. Man.
Technology. It keeps moving. Well, thanks for joining us. That's going to be a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases. And all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, just remember it never ends well. and you might just end up as our next feature.
Unless that's your goal.
I mean, we're happy to talk about you.
We can accommodate you.
We're happy to talk about you.
You can read the Summit County Justice Files online on the Summit County Sheriff's website. The website address is summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you, Tom.